Mike, I think we have somewhere to go.
Bruce Hargovic is on the line, I believe. Bruce, are you with us?
Yes, I'm on Highway 10, just entering Coon Rapids here, and this is near the Northtown Shopping Center. And as I came up 65 and turned on to 10 West here, it was raining very heavily. And the rain has now stopped as I entered Coon Rapids, but I can see that we do have a little bit of urban flooding in the parts of Spring Lake Park in Coon Rapids as a result of the very heavy rain. I haven't seen any damage of any kind, but certainly a lot of heavy rain. And I can also see a little bit of blue sky kind of to the southwest here. So the rain is stopping right now in Coon Rapids.
Bruce, you might want to listen to this. We've got a damage report from Dan Anderson. Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, what do you know?
Well, we're at 85th and Noble. Basically, this is, I think, where the tornado actually started, and we watched it here from our building and from our roof for about a half an hour. We drove up into the that new golf course area, Edinburgh, and some new homes construction up in there. I know Kirby Puckett's building a home up in there. And there's probably six or seven or eight homes that have some substantial damage. Roofs are partially torn off, and then it started raining, so water is going in. We saw a light truck that had been actually turned upside down.
Yeah, CCO, anything new?
And a number of new homes that are partially built, walls were flattened, and roofs caved in and so forth.
You said that's around 85th and Noble.
Right. It's a new housing section where that new golf course is going in also, Edinburgh.
Okay. You don't know of any injuries?
I don't believe there was any. We were around the area for quite a bit, talking to some of the contractors, Andreen and Anderson, and doesn't seem to be any injuries.
I appreciate your report. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. It is 12 minutes past 6 o'clock. Our Twin City temperature is, well, the last temperature we had was 91 degrees, but I'm sure the temperature is changing all over the Twin Cities area. We've had reports of tremendous temperature drops in the vicinity of the thunderclouds and in the vicinity of the tornado funnels. And as we've tried to pin down, the damage that we know of is basically in the Brooklyn Park area. 85th and Zane, 85th and Evergreen, which would be over into Fridley, and the recent report, 85th and Noble. Still no reports of any injuries or fatalities.
Dick, I don't think that we've had any extension of the tornado warning as far as Wisconsin is concerned, but the system now, as we see, is moving across the border into Wisconsin, which would be Polk and I believe St. Croix counties. So people in that area, while we have not had any official warning for you at this point that I'm aware of, should be watching the situation as it develops and be ready to possibly take some action.
As far as we can see on our radar here, it's not moving that fast.
No, but the leading edge Wisconsin has moved through Chisago County and is now into Wisconsin. And to the south in Washington County, we also have the leading edge, or the rain at least, moving into the neighboring Wisconsin County.
That would be, I think, Polk County. Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure of that until I get a map out
here. Well, Polk is one of the two counties that are affected. I believe St. Croix is the other.
That's right. The tornado warning remains in effect for eastern Hennepin, southern Anoka, Ramsey, Washington, Chisago, those counties, and now moving into adjoining Wisconsin. Still no reports of any injuries or fatalities, and that's the only good news we have. And the damage reports we have are basically roofs, trees, some automobiles.
What do we have? We have about 7 minutes left in the tornado warning that was extended for the Twin Cities metropolitan area, those counties we mentioned, eastern Hennepin, northern Ramsey, southern Anoka, northern Washington, and southern and maybe central Chisago. That warning is due to expire at 6:20, but as is the case many times, that may be extended depending upon what this system is doing and where it's doing it. We have activity redeveloping on the backside of the system, which would put it in the eastern Hennepin County area and northern Ramsey County. People in that area should be careful that they don't relax too soon. And we have Bruce Hargovic, as you heard, and Jan Yurok is also in the field, and we hope to be able to bring you some more specific damage reports in the very near future.
I suppose if you want to try to pick up some more information, I could try to get some other news in here quickly, and we'll try to stay abreast of the developing storm situation as it comes.
Why don't we do that?
It is 14 minutes past 6, and here is some other news in our region right now. The woman who says, first we have one more storm report. Hang on, let's take this first. Hello, who's this?
This is Jody Robertson from Blaine.
Blaine, what can you see there?
I was curling, I didn't really look out my window, I was curling my hair, and I just had gotten done, and all of a sudden I heard a big boom, and sparks came out of my curling iron. So I ran into the living room, and there's a big hole in there. In the living room, in our living room.
Was it a big hole in the ceiling?
Yeah.
Was it lightning? It must have been.
Yeah, lightning struck a house. And then there's a chip off our chimney.
You weren't hurt?
And
you were not hurt?
No, we are not her. We went to the neighbor.
Okay, and again, your location?
Blaine.
Okay, I'm sorry about the hole in your roof.
Okay, thanks.
What's your name again?
Jody Robertson.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Right.
Okay, Dick, I'm told we can delay the other news a little bit longer here. We have Jan Urok in the WCCO Radio Mobile Unit. Jan, where are you and what conditions are you encountering?
Rich and Dick, we are in the neighborhood of 35W and County Road I. That's sort of between White Bear Lake, Roseville, and Moundsview. And what we are seeing up here is a very heavy rainfall. We haven't seen any hail up here on the way up or while we're here. We haven't seen any damage, and we have not seen any disruption in the traffic. It's a little bit slow, of course, but so far I'd have to say that we haven't seen any damage at all.
It's kind of weird. We haven't had any weather to speak of in the downtown metropolitan Minneapolis area while all of this stuff has been skipping by on the north.
And we saw a little bit of lightning, but we haven't seen any clouds that look even remotely like a funnel cloud.
Well, the system has weakened somewhat in the last few minutes, and this is probably partially, you know, why you're seeing what you're seeing. Keep searching, and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Mike Lynch, is it dying down?
Yes, it is. In fact, I just talked to the National Weather Service radar operator, and I should qualify that. It's dying down around sections of southeastern Anoka County and northern Ramsey County, although some still pretty good rain cells in that area. But I can tell you with a lot of certainty now that the activity is really wound down over sections of the Fridley area, the Coon Rapids area, and around northeastern Hennepin County. Doppler radar from the Weather Service not showing any turbulent activity in that area, just maybe a few light rain showers. But still some pretty hot cells in northern Ramsey County where Jan is right now, Jan Urok. But again, no reports of any turbulent or possible tornadic activity at this time. The cells appear to at least temporarily have weakened over northern Ramsey and southern Anoka County. We're still keeping an eye on them, though, because they could just easily regenerate up here in the next 15 minutes or so. It appears, though, that the heaviest activity that we're seeing on radar appears to be up in northeastern Anoka County around the Linwood-Columbus Township area, and also in northern Washington County around Forest Lake, and some very heavy thunderstorms right now around sections of southern Chisago County around the Center City Lindstrom area. But appears that at least as far as Doppler radar indications, that activity seems to be winding down across southeastern Anoka County and northern Ramsey County. Still a lot of heavy rainfall in the area. Could be some surface winds and some pretty good hail and lightning.
Now, the stuff that's moving into Wisconsin, which county is that? Polk County?
Okay, it's in Polk County right now, western Polk County. We have some cities that would be involved, St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, Balsam Lake, Clear Lake, Wisconsin, any place really in western Polk County of Wisconsin, and it looks like the northeastern corner of St. Croix County of Wisconsin. That would be the area just to the west of New Richmond and possibly into the New Richmond area before too long.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Sure.
Let me squeeze in some more quick news here briefly, and then we'll try to update you on the storm as it progresses. The woman who says she was raped by three former University of Minnesota basketball players took the stand in Madison, Wisconsin again today. She testified that she may have been looking for attention before the alleged incident, and she admitted that she deliberately cut her arm. When defense attorney Philip Resnick, representing Mitchell Lee, asked her if people had been paying attention to her in the last 6 months, the woman said, "Too much," and began crying. Court was recessed for a brief time. Then prosecutor Judith Hawley asked the woman whether she enjoyed talking with police about the alleged rape. The woman said she did not, and said she felt belittled, scared, angry, embarrassed. The woman also said she mixed up the names of defendants Mitch Lee and Kevin Smith several times when she talked to police after the alleged rape. But she said she was exhausted when she talked to police and did not read a transcript of the interview. The defendants had pleaded not guilty to charges of first-degree sexual assault. They say the woman consented to the acts. Millionaire businessman Wheelock Whitney says he's backing George Latimer in his DFL primary challenge of Governor Perpich. Whitney was the unsuccessful Republican candidate against Perpich in 1982. This time, he says Latimer and not Perpich would be easier for Republicans to beat in the general election. WCCO's Eric Escala reports from the Capitol.
Whitney is included on a list of 50 Republicans and independents who backed George Latimer's DFL challenge of Governor Perpich. Latimer was upbeat as he made the announcement.
It's probably the largest breakthrough of this campaign since it began last December.
But Whitney has more on his mind than backing Latimer for governor. Whitney does say he likes and respects Latimer and thinks Latimer would do better in office than Perpich. He calls the governor inept, inconsistent, and inarticulate. Whitney says he's committed to Latimer only through the September primary, then expects to vote for the Republican candidate for governor, either Cal Ludeman or Jim Lindau. Whitney says he's backing Latimer as the best way to defeat Rudy Perpich.
I don't think that Jim Lindau or Cal Ludeman would have much of a chance against Rudy Perpich in the general election. I think that George Latimer has a much more vulnerable ticket. I think it's a ticket that will do well in the primary because of the nature of the heavy metropolitan focus. But I think if that same ticket had to be exposed to the general electorate in November, I think it's vulnerable. And so I think maybe I could help either Ludeman or Lindau to some extent if I'm successful in helping George Latimer win the primary.
Perpich, alluding to his 1982 defeat of Whitney, says you never get ahead by trying to get even.
Wheelock Whitney probably is, you know, I'm sure that he'll write out a big check for Latimer, and that'll help. But other than that, I don't think it makes any difference. I mean, if you can't do it yourself, why can you do it for someone else?
Sources say Whitney has given Latimer a sizable amount of money and has promised to double the amount by primary day, September 9th. Eric Escala, WCCO Radio News at the Capitol.
The storm situation seems to have let up a little bit for the time being, but Ramsey County Commissioner Dwayne McCarty has some information on a buckled section of pavement on I-35W, which has caused rerouting, and on two men struck by lightning. Commissioner McCarty.
Yes, Dick. It has been reported to me by the Emergency Services Center for Ramsey County that there has been a concrete upheaval due to the heat more so than the storm at 35W on Little Canada Road. Therefore, there has been a rerouting at that section. And it is true, the lightning strike in White Bear involved two men on a boat, and my latest reports have been that they are at Ramsey Hospital, St. Paul Ramsey Medical Center, and that they are okay, that their men are in satisfactory condition. I just wish to add my heartfelt thank you to WCCO and the tremendous service, the public service that you folks have always given to our area in these situations. I'm finding in conversations with my neighbors and around that the reason they're not hearing warning sirens is because many of them are shut up with air conditioning, and the sirens at this time are not loud enough to warn those people who are inside, and WCCO has filled that void. So I do thank you very much. Another job well done. We're clearing out here, and from my vantage point here at my home, it looks pretty good now.
Commissioner McCarty, thank you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thanks for the report. Eric Escala is on the scene in, I think, White Bear Lake. Eric?
We're on 694 heading west.
Brooklyn Park, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I'm Brooklyn Park. We're heading west. Eastbound 694 is very badly blocked around the Shingle Creek Parkway with a series of, it seems, unrelated accidents. It's overcast now with the sun peeking through the clouds at this point, but I think we've come in the aftermath of a heavy rain. There's some standing water on the freeway in some low-lying areas, and there have been a series of accidents. And so traffic is moving very slowly on 694 eastbound, right in the area of the Shingle Creek Parkway. We're going to be heading over to that housing development and see if we can, that was reported on earlier, and we're going to see if we can pick up any reports of damage, and when we do, we'll get back to you.
People are going to wonder how you got from the state capitol to Brooklyn Park so quick.
Oh, it's the magic of radio, Dick.
Right. Thanks for the report, Eric. One more story. Fearful that Chicago gang members have put out a death warrant on convicted murderer John Scruggs, authorities have moved the alleged Minneapolis gang leader from Stillwater State Prison to the high-security prison at Oak Park Heights. Police say Scruggs, convicted last week of ordering the murder of 16-year-old Christine Kreitz last fall, may be targeted by leaders of the Disciples Street Gang in Chicago because allegedly he took control of the gang in Minneapolis without permission. Scruggs was sentenced to a life term following the conviction. Rich?
Well, Dick, I was just going to suggest that we might bring Mike Lynch in here pretty soon. We have a situation where 4 minutes past the expiration time on this tornado warning. Mike, is there any indication whether they're going to extend this or let it expire?
I have had no indication yet from the Weather Service other than what I told you just a few minutes ago. According to their Doppler radar at the Weather Service, they're not noticing any real turbulent activity in these cells right now over northern Ramsey and southeastern Anoka County. It just appears now to be just garden variety, generic showers and thunderstorms with some heavy rain, some hail, and some gusty winds. It appears like most of the really heavy activity, it may have moved on a little bit further to the east and to the north across some sections of northern Washington County around the Stillwater area or just a little bit to the north of that. Some heavy thunderstorms as well right now over southern Chisago County around Lindstrom and Center City, and an especially large batch of some showers and thunderstorms right now in western Polk County from about St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, northward to the Luck and to the Frederick area. It appears to all be moving towards the east-northeast. It appears in general like things are winding down here in the Twin Cities, and when we talk about the Twin Cities, really the only areas being affected right now or some of the northern and eastern suburbs. And again, I want to underline, it appears things are settling down, but there's still a chance that in the next 20 minutes or so, some of these thunderstorms now in southeastern Anoka County or northern Ramsey County could regenerate again. But it does appear that overall that things are winding down.
Oh, okay. Let's go okay. to Dick. Dick, you have somebody from Civil Defense on the line?
Yes, we have Bruce Wojak, who's a Civil Defense Director in Anoka County. Bruce?
Yes.
Go ahead.
As of just a couple minutes ago, and I was in Central Communications, kind of our headquarters for the county that handles police, fire, and medical, we did a quick check with them. There seems to be very few personal injuries at this time, and possibly just more damage to trees and minor damages to homes. We haven't done a complete survey, but talking with the local departments in the major cities here, that's the indication in the report that we get back, and that's the current right up to right now. So no major injuries that we're aware of, possibly one fire as a result of it.
One fire as a result?
Yeah, that we think that might be a result of it that was just dispatched a short while ago. But otherwise, again, we would get all medical calls coming through here, and we've had very, very few.
When you see you say very few personal injuries, what yeah. kind of injuries?
Well, anything
broken
that
limbs or
yeah, anything that required an ambulance call or a medical response from one of the fire departments. They were they said they just haven't been getting them at this point in time.
Okay, your communications deals entirely now with Anoka County.
Correct, all the municipalities in Anoka County.
Okay, some of the damage seems to be south of Anoka County. You know, in further down in Brooklyn Park and places like that.
Correct, very definitely.
I appreciate the report.
I just thought I'd let you know.
You bet, Bruce Bye. Wojak, Civil Defense Director in Anoka County. Thank you.
Well, Dick, we still have the activity in the Twin Cities, and as Mike Lynch indicated, there's still a possibility of some trouble, so we'll hang with it. We'll do some sports with Steve Cannon in just a moment, but let me just throw this in. We've kind of ignored our outstate friends a little bit by necessity here, but we do have a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 7 o'clock for the southwestern portion of Minnesota that includes northeastern Lincoln, northern Lyon, and it includes the cities of Marshall, Minnesota, and Ghent. That's for another 32 minutes, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for people in those areas.
And we're watching weather in Polk County, Wisconsin, adjoining Minnesota. Towns like Balsam Lake, St. Croix Falls, places like that. The activity is moving in there now, but we have no indications of any tornado funnels there, just some severe thunderstorms at the moment. Bruce Hagovic is back with us. Where are you, Bruce?
Dick, we are now at 85th and East River Road in Coon Rapids, which I think is kind of a center of where much of the damage, whatever damage did occur from this today, happened. And I have with me a couple of gentlemen. First of all, Chris Hampton. And Chris is an employee of Northwestern Bell, and I don't have all the details. We'll get it from him. But, Chris, I understand that you were in your maintenance truck, the telephone maintenance truck, when this tornado hit. And tell us what happened.
Well, basically, the van just got picked up by the tornado and flipped over onto the highway.
Now, where were you traveling at the time?
I pulled over into the ditch. I wasn't traveling at all on the road.
Okay, so this was on East River Road then?
Right.
So maybe you can describe for us, try to relive exactly what happened in some detail here.
Well, the twister hit the truck. It picked it up, moved it over a few feet in the air, and then rolled it over a few times.
How many times do you think it rolled over?
Probably rolled over at least once on each side.
Now, did you see the funnel of the tornado coming before this happened?
I was working right in the area when I saw it coming, and I went into the truck.
Do you think that you were right in the funnel when the truck rolled over?
I was right in the funnel.
What did it look like?
I wasn't looking too much. I just made sure that seatbelt was on and went for the ride, sir.
And what did it sound like?
It sounded like a train, quite a bit like a train going through. You know, still quite a bit of a Doppler effect as it passed.
Okay, Chris, and we also have Owen Shelton. And Owen, yeah, thank you, Chris. And Owen lives right near the center of where this destruction was. And maybe he can help us assess just exactly how much damage there was here. Owen, you live approximately where here?
Well, I live right at the corner of 84th and East River Road, and I saw the funnel past the house just about 300-400 feet north of behind my lot there, right at the point to telephone truck. I watched him go by, and the next thing I knew, he was in the intersection, and it had actually crossed behind us and then angled towards the houses, and it done quite a bit of tree damage and some house damage in our block right there.
Saw Chris's truck roll over in the storm?
I did not actually see the truck roll over. I turned my head the other way, and I didn't quite see it.
Okay, now you saw the funnel. Maybe you can describe again in detail what exactly you saw.
Well, we saw the funnel as it came across from Brooklyn Center. It was high in the sky, and it looked like it was just reaching down a little ways. But actually, it broke apart, and there was another, the bigger funnel was below it on the ground. And we saw garbage and trash and everything flying, and we figured, well, it's going to come this way. And it looked like it was going to go north of us, about, quarter mile or farther north of us. And actually, it changed directions and headed in a more southerly direction and came across right at 85th and East River Road here and then headed south.
Now, once it touched down, how long would you say it was on the ground?
Well, actually, I think it was pretty much on the ground all the way from across the river because we could see garbage and trash flying all the way from when we watched over the trees. We could see trash and garbage flying in the air, actually, soon after we spotted the original tornado.
Now, you're familiar with the neighborhood, obviously. How many homes do you think received some kind of cheer?
Oh, I would imagine there's somewhere between 25 and 50 homes have some damage, a lot of tree damage. I did not see a lot of house and damage. I saw a garage that was damaged and some house damage, but nothing real extensive.
So no homes really actually destroyed, but some peripheral damage.
Not that I have seen. Yeah. I haven't.
Now, your home, had some damage, at least to its garage.
Yeah, we got some sheeting off the end of the garage there and a few shingles off and a few windows and rearranged the trees around quite a bit.
Okay. Bruce?
Yes, Dick.
Bruce, we might be able to clear up some of that damage report. We have a gentleman from the 85th and Noble Territory, Mark Lind. Mark, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
That's where we had an earlier report. Some new housing development there with some damage. What can you tell us?
Well, I drove through. I'm calling from my car phone. I drove through the new golf course area, and up around 87th in between Noble and Xerxes, there's about four houses that got their roof off of it and stuff, and the fire department's there and everything, but they said nobody is hurt and there's no fire or anything, but they really got the area blocked off and a lot of traffic's up there.
That's 85th and Noble, 87th, around in there, huh?
Yeah, up in the new development.
You're speaking from your car now?
Yeah, drove through it just now. There's only one news person out there, and that's WTCN 11 or whatever. Oh. They're the only ones out there.
We'll get our guys over there right away.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye.
That report from 85th and Noble, Mark Lind, where some new housing development in the vicinity of the new golf course was reported earlier.
Dick, we have Mike Lynch back.
Yes.
Is this to do with the warning for western Wisconsin?
Right. Well, we do have some new warnings, and I have some additional information here as well. New tornado warning in effect until 7:20 for extreme eastern and southern Chisago County, western Polk County of Wisconsin, looks like portions of Barron County, and sections of Rusk County in Wisconsin. This would include some cities like St. Croix Falls, Barron, Lady Smith, Wisconsin, and also in Chisago County, the Center City area. And also, too, the warnings extend for that area until 7:20. We've had no more reports of tornado touchdowns in that area, but obviously these cells have had a history of producing tornadoes, and so we're watching them very carefully.